Glow, I owe you an apology. You don't yell at me. I just get nasty emails.
I just nag. That's right.
I wouldn't say that, but she prides herself on being a good keeping everyone on track, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So, but we do always start with Glow, and have you heard anything from Rachel at all?
I have, in fact. This morning, she just wanted me to remind everybody to make sure that your SAM and your DUNS accounts are up to date. Make sure that if you are the one submitting the proposal for your organization, that you are the AOR, the Authorized Organizational Representative. And then she also said that the RFP should be posted soon, hopefully no later than next week. So that was some exciting news there. Kind of going along with that, I just wanted to mention that when that RFP is released, Rachel always sends it to me immediately, sometimes even before they get it put on their website, and we put it out on the listserv. Also, EPA, typically, after they release an RFP, they schedule webinars about that RFP. Those also come to me to put on the listserv. So if you are not on the listserv and you want to be, then send me an email at ghanne@eicc.edu, and I'll get you added. Just kind of hearing the names of the people that are on the call today, it sounds like most of you are on there. But if you don't, if you haven't gotten anything from me, say, in the past couple of weeks, then you are not. So send me an email, and I will be glad to get you on there.
And if you send that to her, we'll also put you on the PLC list. While there are two lists, the PLC list sends you post-session notes with resources and websites and meetings. But just send it, your contact information to her, and we'll get you on both lists. You'll also get two reminders every time, but I think we like to drive the point home when we're going to be around. So just send your contact information to Glow, and we'll go from there. Speaking of webinars and what happens, in fact, EPA, we'll talk about this in a second, but there's going to be a webinar on October 17th, which I'll have in the notes, Tips for Writing Successful Grant Proposals. It'll just be another EPA webinar. It seems there's lots of webinars these days, but we try to point out some that might be really helpful and applicable to both the ARC proposals, which we'll talk about in a second, and also the Environmental Workforce Development Job Training proposals. We also put in some funding opportunities in the notes. Think about funding opportunities, and often when you see them, you say, well, this isn't a job training proposal. But what we find, there's some synergies between job training and other things. There may be a community involvement proposal. It might be something to do with environmental justice. And so your organization can use the same resources using on job training and maybe add a little bit to your organizational capability by going after one of these other proposals. So often if there's a community involvement or an environmental justice type of RFP, we'll put it on the notes just for you to look at to see if it's something that might fit into some of the capability that you have to add to your environmental workforce proposal. Our next PLC will be October 25th, and we're going to have St. Louis Community College. They had six awards over many years and have had faced some adversarial, some difficult times and some good times, so it'd be good to hear what they're doing, and they're moving strong. What we want to do between now and when some proposals are due is we want to strengthen the PLC members so that they can be the best of the proposal writers. There'll be a lot of people writing proposals. We might get 40 or so, 10. We don't know. I don't know the funding levels, but they'll fund as many proposals as they can. But we always have to remember that of the proposals they fund, there's re-ups for 1 or 2 years of re-ups, which may be 10 or 20 or maybe 30 people. that it might be re-upping their work, and there'll be new proposals coming in. So if we go from 30 to 40 and we go down to 10 or 12 or 15, it just depends on the funding levels that we have. We have to be competitive. Everyone's going to be hopefully answering all of the questions for the ranking criteria. But what we have to focus on is how could we make ours a little more outstanding than everyone else's. One of the things that we did this year is we watched very carefully the ARC proposals because they're very close to ours. ARC standing for Assessment Revolving Loan Funds and Cleanup Proposals. And these are very similar. They're in the sister programs to ours. They, while we address environmental workforce, they're addressing the assessment to decide where they should be looking at cleaning up, what sites are available in the community. And we're going to talk about that. We talked about this last week, but we're going to talk about it a little more today. The revolving loan funds that allow cities to start up loan programs to start these cleanup activities. Once you identify in the assessments, then you go to the next step. You start looking the feasibility of cleaning these programs up, and it gives them the revolving loan fund, allows communities to start cleaning up those areas they decide they need to clean up, and then finally the cleanup program. And the cleanup, of course, is what really important to us because you need people to clean up. And we want to be as close to these programs as possible, which we really, I don't feel we've really been as close to the ARC grantees as we should be in the past. This year, we not only looked and examined very closely the ARC RFPs, one set of proposals, it's the whole program is about $50 million, some for the revolving loan funds. We compared those with the cleanup and those with the assessments. And you'd be amazed, for those of you between the last PLC and this PLC who may have gone to the webinar sponsored by EPA, it's actually the very, they're doing a mirror image of what they've done to ARC, they're doing to environmental workforce. And another interesting thing is the ARC proposals, RFPs, came out September 16th, 2 months to respond, due November 16th. The environmental workforce development job training programs, if it's true to form, means a month later. So that means an RFP coming about October 16th, which GLOW seems to indicate is kind of what they're thinking of doing, with a due date 60 days later of around December 16th before Christmas. So that's good and bad. In the past, the proposals at times have been done due after Christmas, which ruins everyone's holidays, or across Christmas, which shortens the time to do some of the things you do to develop the proposal. So if it comes out in around the 16th of October, maybe it'll be wrapped up before Christmas holiday starts. The negative to this of those of us, and particularly those of you who are in academic institutions, between Thanksgiving and Christmas is a tough time. There's a lot of things going on, and Christmas get-togethers and the holidays. So that gives more emphasis on the need to start some things early, even though the RFP is not out yet. And one of the first things I want to talk about today is the RFPs for the ARC proposals that I just described require public hearings and public notices, and fairly well detailed with who attended the meeting, the public meeting, how many were there, what questions were asked, and requires a comment period where the notes of the meetings could be put out and people could ask questions, write in comments that might be incorporated into the proposal. Those public meetings have to be held before November 2nd, which is 2 weeks before the proposal is due. Now, you might be asking, well, how does that concern me? As I suggested, we in the PLC want to see what we can do at this point. We talk about what we could do to improve our programs. What we want to talk about is now, before this proposal is due, is what can we do to make our proposal the best it can be? What makes you stand out amongst many others? One of the things that will make you stand out way head and shoulders above the others is to have public meetings. We talked to Rochester And Paul was describing, and he's in the mayor's office, so he knows what that means to have public meetings. He had 4 public meetings, one in each quadrant of the city. He was able to do that because he's very in tune to having these public meetings. Many of you probably are not in tune at all. And if you're in a community college, you may not, this is really foreign to you. So this is a suggestion that we're posing, is as soon as possible, and we talked about this last PLC, but it's so, to me it's very important, contact the ARC people, the people that are going to be writing proposals for ARC, and ask them on several levels, can you partner with them on several levels? One is, if they're going to schedule a public meeting, can you just have an announcement at that public meeting, or somehow maybe even work it into that public meeting, that you're also interested and plan on submitting an environment workforce development job training proposal to EPA, and that proposal will be going in somewhere towards the end of the year. This is really something that would help you in writing your proposal. Now, the proposal is not even out yet, okay? But this is something you need to do, because it will be part of the proposal. By when you look at the ARC RFPs, you'll notice, and they give them points, 2 points in the community relations part, the and engagements and partnerships. Have you contacted the Environmental Workforce Development Job Training Program in your area? If there is one, you need to contact them. This is talking to the ARC writers. They need to find you, and they can actually even point you to the same place I'm going to point you, of going to the EPA website, find out who the invite, I'm talking about them talking to the ARC proposal writers. Go there and find out who is doing it in your community. Well, what you need to do is go to the same site, and you need to identify before the proposal is even out, request for a proposal is even out, you need to find out who is going to be writing these ARC proposals, and you need to go to them and explain what you're also going to be doing on the environmental workforce. You're going to be doing them a favor, because they're probably trying to get a hold of you, and you're going to need to get a hold of them and not only partner, but go to the next level and say, could we participate in your public hearings? Now, if you wait too long, the problem is they have to have their public meetings done by November 2nd. This is why I'm bringing this up today. So here we're sitting on the 11th of October. So between now and somewhere in early November, which gives us, you know, just a few weeks, they're going to be scheduling public hearings, public announcements. The sooner you can get on board with them, the better you're going to be, and share their documentation of who's attending the meetings. You're going to be able to put this in this proposal, this response that's not even issued yet, but you're going to have the groundwork. You're going to have the documentation that when it's time to write your proposal in early December, you're going to have all this background done, and it's all going to be done for you. If you wait till after the RFP comes out, they're going to say, oh, I'm glad you contacted us. We'd love to be your partners, but I'm sorry, we've already had our public meetings. So you're going to miss the opportunity. So that's why I'm bringing this up first thing. Really important, and not something you would think that I need to do right now, but it is. The other thing, of course, Glow mentioned, and EPA mentions over and over again, is the whole issue of grants.gov. It's almost impossible. You have to, except for special circumstances, go through grants.gov. Well, this isn't really, it's fairly trivial if you've got someone applying for other grants and who has been doing this. And this may be another way to link with your, depending on who you are and your relationship to whoever is developing the ARC proposals. If you're already into that government application stream, there's not a problem. You have to, of course, as Glo described, get the DUNS number. It could take about a month to go through this if things don't work really smoothly. You have to have a DUNS number. Most people will have that. You got to go to grants number, to grants.gov. Then you want to go to sams.gov, and you want to use your DUNS number we just talked about, and you make sure that your account is active. Now, here's the first glitch. If you haven't done this in a while, or if you haven't done it, you may not even have an account, or it may not be active. You also have to have what she calls that AOR, the Authorized Organization Representative. So you may have the DUNS number, and you may have gone to SAMS.gov, and your account is active. But if you're going to be submitting it, if your name's going to be submitting it, you've got to be an authorized, not the authorized necessarily, an authorized organization representative. If you're not, they're going to reject your proposal. So it's really important to do that. The other thing about that is whether they may say, oh, don't worry about it. We took care of that. We submitted a grant 2 years ago. Or we're already a grantee. Don't worry about it. And now the names, the usernames and passwords change. So, and these accounts go inactive. So you really have to, you may find out if you wait till December 15th and you're going to send it in this week, oh my gosh, my account's not active. And then everyone starts to scramble. And sadly enough, proposals are not accepted. And that's a real crime, and to go through all this work and then not have your proposal accepted. And there's not really exceptions. It's either accepted or it's not. And you don't want to find out at the end that because you did not do this ahead of time, that the whole, all this time is wasted. So you could do all this again, even before your proposal is, RFP is out. You could do it at any time. I think what you need to do, many of you need to locate the person that's doing this and just sit down, get an appointment with them and sit down in the morning and say, I just want to make sure we're good to go. And I want to say, who is going to be the person who's going to submit our proposal? We're going to do all the technical stuff, but we got to know who's going to do it, and ask them if would they run through it, just to make sure everything is good. So when the proposal is written and the proper person is chosen to submit it, that it's going to go smoothly. And again, you do this now, and once you've got it done and you're tracking and everything's confirmed, you're good to go. It's one less thing that you have to worry about before the RFP has really been issued. And it's just a way of do it now rather than later, and it's going to save you a whole lot of time. So are any of you confused about either the grants.gov or the whole notion of working with ARC, the ARC proposals? I imagine, Alma, you're deep into the ARC proposals now. They're probably just, you're starting to get questions and things like that.
Yeah, we're doing outreach coming up here on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm. Coming up. And here's another thing about the regional coordinators is, you can contact your regional coordinator, those of you that work with Alma. She can talk to you about your grant until the RFP comes out. And now we've got a different rule that applies. You're not going to be able to talk to her about your specific grant. Now, Alma, one question I would have is, I imagine, and I usually guide people to the EPA site, which I put in the notes. There's several places you can get information about who's developing the ARC proposal. But do you have that kind of information that you would be able to give someone if in your region? Or is it not something that you really, that information to you is not available?
I think while we're, we have an idea of who's working on ARC right now, and I also have an idea of who's working on job training. Okay. I don't have everybody that's working on job training, and so, you know, they can, right now, while we're still not in the open competition yet for job training, they can call and ask that, and, I can work with them and give them ideas on things, refer them. A lot of times I refer people to your PLC recordings because these calls are amazing. But once the guidelines come out, then it's all just general outreach. They can still call with questions, which then I forward on and I either can answer and then send them to Rachel to post nationally, or if I don't have the question, I forward it to her and then we get an answer and it's posted, nationally. Because once the guidelines are out, then those questions just have to be in general for everybody's consumption, questions and answers.
So theoretically, in whoever region it is, they might be able to call their coordinator. And then if you don't know your coordinator's contact information, you could write us, or Glo or me, and we can give you that contact. And if you could ask them, is it possible that I'm looking for the ARC writers, the ARC submitters in St. Louis or in Pittsburgh, would you have an idea that you could give me, connect me with that? Would that be a legitimate question they could ask between now and a week or so from now? You know, when the
They can even call, you know, once the RFP is out, even right now they can pull up, go to the website and pull last year's guidelines. The coordinators are always listed towards the back end of the guidelines. So that's the easiest. And, of course, they can get them from you as well. But then for us, they can always call us with any questions. I think that's important for them to know. It's just we can't do any coaching or any specific discussions about their proposal without you know, that would be a problem. We just simply wouldn't do it. But if you have a question about anything, your point of contact is your regional contact, and then we will take any questions general that we can answer, anything on the guidelines specific, you know, that are just not specific to your actual proposal, we can answer those, but then we would all write those up and send them up so they get posted, so that it's not like I'm only helping one entity. I send the question nationally and it gets posted, and those questions get distributed. So all the coordinators and anybody that goes on a website will be able to have those questions. So that's how we identify also how there's some issues that people have confusion over. And so then Rachel will add those questions and answer discussions during the national outreaches that there'll only be one that'll be scheduled here soon.
Right. Do the regions have their own after that, or is it some do, some don't?
Yes, the regions generally do. Last year was a little different because we kind of had a gag order, and so unless it was already scheduled before we got that gag order, then it affected some outreach. I know Region 7 didn't have a region-specific one last year because I couldn't get the word out through the press office, and so it would just take so long to get approval from headquarters. But, the regions typically – some have them, some don't, but they will be also, you know, announced to the different regional contacts. There's usually a distribution list in each region, and that information goes to those different regional contacts. There'll be a huge list, and then people will either connect to the call or they won't.
This is a good point. If you're listening to this call and you're new, and even if you're not new, just drop a line to the regional coordinator. In fact, we need to put their contact information just in the newsletter, because just tell them that, just FYI, we're planning on submitting an environmental workforce development job training proposal this year. That will get you on their list if you're not already on their list. And as Alma said, she's got a pretty good idea who's doing it, but there may be some people out there that are totally unaware of this, and that'll get you on her list so that if whatever she does, you'll get in touch with her. And even if you're not sure yet, just give her your contact information, telling her you're thinking of doing it. And of course,
you should always, if you're interested, even if you don't know if you can pull it together for this, contact your regional coordinator. And Mike, I think you all should add it so they don't have, just to make it easier for this group, if you can put the list, you should get them, you can easily get it off the website on the last year's guidelines and add them to the notes on this PLC. That'll just make it easier for them.
Okay,
but contact them, because sometimes it takes some prepping. I've had people that contact me now and they don't apply until the next year, but we can work with them when we're not in competition, and that gives you a heads up and it gives you a leg up in preparation.
Good. And, of course, in addition to that, you could always go, and we'll put on its links to all the ARC grants. And if you look at the active ARC grants and the ones exactly 2 years ago that may apply, there's a nice list of, it tells you by year who was funded by EPA. And those would be the same places. And they actually give you phone numbers of the contacts for some of the ARC grantees. So you could actually go to those lists. It's the EPA site on fact sheets. You can click on, if you see a town that's near you, click on that, click on the fact sheet, and often you'll get the phone number of the people who are in charge, and tell them, hey, we're applying for a workforce grant, and we want to partner with you. Those of you who look at the ARC RFPs are also amazed, I think I mentioned this last time, how similar they are to the Environmental Workforce Job Training Program. I would say there's more than 50% overlap in some cases. There are things, the sheets look the same, the reporting sheets, budget sheets look very similar, but the ranking criteria is very similar, particularly on partnerships, leveraging, community interaction, all of those things, identifying the target community. All of those things are there. The demographics are there. By contacting the ARC grantees who are doing this, they're doing all this legwork as we speak. They have to do that. You can look at what they're doing and add to it. If you're partnering with them, they can say, this is the information we have. Well, you might say, we're going to go a little deeper on that. And they might say, we're focusing on this northwest corner quadrant of the city, and this is why we're doing it. That may have a big influence on where you decide to target your program, because you might say, this is where all the action is going to be happening. This is what they've identified. They have done probably other homework that you might be interested in. For example, special situations. Did you know that there's a special tax incentive? Or this is revitalized Detroit in this community here. And of course, you're not even looking at that community. You're off base. But if they may have already identified these areas that the mayor or city council municipality is already earmarked. And of course, in past PLCs, we've talked about how important it is to get into the mayor's office, again, even before the RFP has come out, find out what are their priorities and why, and what are their demographics, and what do they base their decision on target community on. Now, if you come in with a proposal that is totally off guard because you haven't left campus or you're doing this at the last minute, you're going to look kind of crazy. Because all of a sudden, all this activity, empowerment zones, ARC proposals, they're all in the southwest quadrant, and you're somewhere up in the northeast. You have to ask the question, why? Why have you really partnered or coordinated with the rest of the activity? All four of these grants come out of the same office, and they're all geared at the same thing of identifying funding, cleaning up and employing the local people. So you've got to get on board to that. And that's just why that's so important, whether it's special situations, identifying the target community, the labor market assessment. That will partially be done for you if you, again, coordinate with these other proposals. Even if they're old proposals, why did they choose? You may have a situation where there's no new proposals, but there was one. Maybe it was Charlotte. Well, we completed that, or we did these things. You can go in and look at their grant proposals and see what did they do and how did they develop that relationship or choose that target community. You could link it into your proposal. So I really consider this, and we've been talking about it in earlier PLCs, this is laying foundation. You can write that grant. You could put the words down in that last month in December. But if you have not done what we've done, you can't do that. You won't have the time to make these appointments and get this foundation ready. If you've done it and you've got the pieces in the folders of what you've done in the documentation, the grant writing will be fairly simple because you'll be able to answer all of the questions, whether it's demographics, public hearings, labor market, target community, demographic of the target. And all you have to do is just improve on it to make it more specific. So this is what we wanted to talk about today. And next week next PLC, we're going to be talking to St. Louis about how they've handled these issues. Of course, by then, the RFP comes out. We'll have follow-up to that and have discussions to drill down on some of those specific questions in terms of community involvement. Up until now on the PLC, we've spent most of the time talking about these preliminary foundation building things like doing your labor market assessment, how important it is to get your partners in line, how do you start thinking about screening. We'll focus, drill down to those very specific things after this RFP comes out. But really, I urge you between now and then just to get this thing started. And, of course, we always caveat whenever you're looking at partners or the mayor's office, they all know, and you discuss, well, we are planning on submitting. This is a very competitive grant, but we're committed to doing this, and we want your help. And there's no – one of the big resistance we get in the PLC of people who don't want to do this is basically, I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want to lock into my partners and commit and get commitments and then have to come back to them and say, well, we didn't get the grant. Well, the way you do that is it's competitive grant. We're applying for it. If we don't get it this year, we'll get it next year. We need your help, and a lot of this grant needs to be written before we need to have everything on board before we submit the grant. This is not the kind of grant where you get the money and then you do the work. You really, it's almost the opposite. You do all the planning, line up, link, lock everyone in, and then you submit, and hopefully you'll get the grant because other people have not done the homework that you've done. And that's really, you've got to go full bore in this way. So we do try to keep these half hours. Does anyone have any comments or contributions that you'd like to say where you may have run into problems when you're trying some of these approaches, or what do you think, what has worked for you? I've got a question. One question is, have you seen in many grants people who really do work with the ARC? You know, we've been deficient in doing that up until now. And I think this is the first year where they're saying, in fact, Maddie said he would do this. I'm gonna tie the ARCs into job training. He's doing it. But,
we've been pushing it for about 3 years, I think, nationwide. I know I have actively been pushing it. I think it's been a little more the last year. We definitely saw proposals that had that. And I think it's more so, I think it's catching on more so since last year into this year. And yes, there are communities that are actually coordinating with the Brownfields coordinators for, let's say, Greater Kansas City area or St. Louis area. And they're actually on board on groups where there's discussions about the environmental projects and what jobs those are bringing in. So.
Good.
I can tell you St. Louis is doing that, so you all will hear of that, I'm sure, next week.
Right.
It was in their proposal 2 years ago. So.
Good. Thank you. Anything else? Well, probably the next thing you'd hear is that you're going to be getting notes from us that, hey, the RFP's out, and then we'll talk to St. Louis, and then we'll get back, and we'll be talking about getting these proposals written, winning proposals written. Well, thanks, Alma.
Yes. There is something else. During the coordinator's call that we had, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I lose track of time, one of the coordinators did identify that there are samples, recent samples of job training proposals that were winning proposals on the K-State TAB website.
Yes, there are, and I saw them, and that's great.
So if you could post that in those notes, I think that would be helpful. A link to their K-State website for that would be wonderful for these folks.
I think we've also put that out on our listserv in announcements, too.
Have it on the listserv also? Okay.
Yeah, I think that was one that went out a week or two ago.
Okay.
We'll make sure that not all the same people read. We've got several vehicles, and so they might be one and not another. Or they may miss a PLC or whatever. But we'll put that in there. K-State, of the three TAB grantees, the TAB grantees are kind of what we are, but on the technical side, the ARC side, the Assessment Cleanup and Revolving Loan Fund. But they also will, you know, they'll put proposals up there. They actually review proposals. We kind of chosen not to because there's such a slim margin between those who win and don't, and it's kind of a little more subjective, and we're afraid to give that kind of guidance and because of the competitiveness. But they do a good job at that, and they have some checklists that also apply to the job training programs because the requests for proposals are very similar. So
yes,
well, thank you for that thing.
All right.
Well,
great.
We'll see you all on later in the month on the 25th.
Good luck, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks,
bye.
Everybody. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.